This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is a terrific Tuesday. It is You Better You Bet. It is Nick Costos. It is Ken Barkley. And it's you here with us on the BetQL Network, sponsored for the next 2 hours by our friends over at Hyundai, and simulcast for the next 2 hours by our friends over at Stadium. And it's going to be a badass 2 hours of wagertainment coming your way. Rob Pozzola will join us in 20 minutes, talking all things betting in the NHL postseason. Rob from the Hammer and the Circles Off podcast, pro better Rob Pozzola, coming up in 20 minutes. Former NFL head coach Herm Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us in 40 minutes, getting us set to bet the National Football League draft. John Daigle next hour as well, just released a mock draft from our friends over at Establish the Run. John Daigle stops by in 60 minutes, so amazing guests joining us over the course of the next 2 hours, and Ken and I will get back to the NBA postseason following an unbelievable slate last night that also featured the Cavs and Magic in a game that felt like a Saturday, like Big 12 affair in January compared to the other two games last night. And we will give you thoughts on the NHL postseason as well. Final hour, power hour, will feature all our bets for tonight. But joining us right now to kick off the fun and frivolity here in our stadium 2 hours on this Tuesday, three-time NBA champion, newly minted Odyssey Sports NBA insider, and a graduate of St. Mary's High School on Long Island, where my sister went to high school. I think they went there at the same time, which is pretty funny. My sister went to St. Mary's, so did Danny Green, who joins us here now on the show on Twitter, at @dgreen_14. Danny, good to talk to you, my man. Just got to pay the sponsors here. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, which, of course, is equipped or adventure. Danny, we sincerely appreciate you joining us right now. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, You Better You Bet. How's it going?
Good. Appreciate you guys having me. Wasn't sure the mic is good. You can hear me well?
We can get your mic squared away. I think you sound fine, Danny. I think you probably heard what we were talking about.
Sister went to St. Mary's. Who's your sister?
My sister is Katie Costos, is her name.
Okay, I think I might know. She went to the same year as I went?
She's born in 86. So she graduated high school in, 2004? Yeah.
Yeah, she's a year older. So maybe, I don't know. You know, it's a small school, but maybe by faith. But that's awesome, man. Small world.
And I guess I should point out here that I have, 17 family members who went to North Carolina, and I also love you. So it's kind of a bunch of highlights of you ripping up the Duke Blue Devils, which was pretty awesome. So, like, a poster dunk that you had one time, which was pretty cool. I want to ask you about the Lakers and Nuggets. Danny, obviously, you have a lot of familiarity and experience with LeBron, the Lakers, and I just, 10 straight losses seems inexplicable. It seems like how could this possibly happen? And I know Denver's really good, but it happened again last night. Lakers up huge. Jamal Murray hits the shot. They win the game. What do you see when you watch these Nuggets-Lakers game? There have been 10 of them, and the Nuggets have won all of them, despite the Lakers playing really well in some of them. How do you explain this losing streak?
Yeah, man. First and foremost, man, tell your family, I thank them for raising you the right way, and they're great people for being Tar Heels.
I appreciate that.
But, watching these games, it's tough. I think it's good. It's more of a mental thing than anything, a mental hump. And, Denver's just a really good team, and they have their number. They have Lakers' number. I think throughout the seasons, there's been ups and downs and injuries and stuff like that, so it's hard to even take regular season and compare it to postseason. But from last postseason to this postseason, D'Angelo played really well last night, but they're not getting enough guys to have a great night together. It's D'Lo played well one night, Austin might play well. LeBron, AD plays solid most nights. Sometimes AD might not have a game plan, so it's you got to have them all clicking at the right time. To beat a great team like that, you got to have everybody clicking, because they're going to have nights where they have Aaron Gordon show up, MPJ show up, and Jamal Murray outside of Jokic consistently, those guys are going to give you something. KCP will give you something. Like, their starting five is a plus whatever because they're so good and consistent. So you're going to need consistent minutes from your bench and your other guys production-wise when it comes to outside of Bron and AD. And it's just very up and down. And 20-point loss, man, that's tough because it seems like it's a mental hump. They just kind of stop scoring. You got to continue to keep scoring. AD had a great first half. Fourth quarter was rough for him. So they just need to keep guys keep in rhythm and going. And D'Angelo had a great first half and third quarter. Got to keep find ways to get those other guys in rhythm.
Since North Carolina got brought up, I won't bring up the Alabama game in the NCAA tournament. Also, like, what the hell happened? I had Carolina. That would have been great if Carolina had won the
so
game.
Did
we'll
I.
move on. Danny, you know LeBron and AD pretty well. Do you think they feel defeated? Like, what's the mindset now after, like, another gut punch loss to Denver, down 2-0 in the series?
Like, I watched all the games yesterday, and I'm two deflating games. I'm sure Philly was very deflated, but Lakers, I think, even bigger at loss. You know what I'm saying? A bigger gut punch, like you said, because of how much they were up and lost and how well they were playing. Mentally, I think after a game like that, you got to feel, like, defeated. You got to find ways to get it back, though. And that takes maturity. And those guys have been in the league long enough. They know. Bron's been in the league long enough. He knows he's been down 0-2 before and be able to come back in a series and win a series down 3-1. He's pretty much the only person to ever do it that we've seen alive. I don't know if there's anybody else. You know, obviously, Jamal Murray. Denver's done it 3-1 a couple times. But he's done it in the finals. So they know what it takes. But said mentally and emotionally, that is defeating. But you have the right group to bounce back and the right coaching staff. It starts with that, all the way from the front office down to the last player on the bench. Everybody's got to have that belief system and that positive energy that we can turn this thing around. And there's nobody better than LeBron to instill that in his guys and AD. So they're going to need that from those guys. And everybody's got to follow suit. You know, D'Lo's got to keep his confidence up. Austin Reeves got to, you know, find it. Rui's got to find it. Guys at the bench, Gabe Vincent, Spencer Dinwiddie, Torian Prince, those guys got to find ways to contribute, even though they're getting little minutes. Like, it's tough to do it in such a short time, but all those plays, 50-50 balls of diving on those balls, scrapping, steals, rebounds, and maybe a bucket or two here and there, those things matter when it comes to beating a team like Denver. So so hopefully they can mentally bounce back from this one, but that was a tough, mentally draining game for them.
Danny, I want to ask you about kind of like the officiating and what you see now, because, you know, D'Angelo Russell talked about this a little bit. The Sixers filed a formal grievance with the NBA about the officiating in the first two games. And I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, we're just kind of like sports fans, right? Betters, like, we didn't play anything close to professional basketball. But even we're used to watching, you know, like 140, 130 NBA games the last 5-6 years. And you're kind of used to playing in games that were officiated that way. Yeah. And now you see what's happening in this postseason. Like, give us an idea, because we never played. Give us an idea. Like, when you watch how these games are called now, like no fouls, like clotheslines at the basket, that kind of stuff. Like, how much different is it really as somebody who played?
It's a difference, man. I said the biggest thing that we have issues with when it's not consistent. I enjoy the physicality. I think most guys do. Some guys don't get the benefits out. Some guys do. Some guys can be physical with. Some guys you can't be because there's, you know, quote unquote superstars. Like, some guys can get the fouls they want. Some guys can't. You know, you let this guy get mugged and this guy, like, when it's inconsistent is when we have an issue with it. I don't like the flopping much. That's one thing I've expressed is it's hard to watch the game, especially when it's that physical and guys are flopping, trying to bait the refs into fouls. And some of those fouls, like, were unbelievable. Some of the fouls they overturned, it's like, how are you getting this wrong? Some of them that they missed, they're like, what is going on here? Like, why the hell is this overturned? How did you miss this? Like, especially this crucial moment in the game. But like they said, you know, people talk about it being up 20, man, you have a lot of leeway of missing some calls, missing mistakes. Like, you got to, ultimately it comes down to you guys. Even if the ref misses calls, they can't miss 20. Like, they got to miss 10 to 15 calls for it to really be like, all right, we got screwed. Two or three calls. Okay. I understand. And that could cost you a game. But what happens to the other 10 possessions that you guys, you know, 6 or 8 possessions that you guys missed out on that you could have taken advantage of? You got to find ways to score. You got to find ways to get stopped. So, you know, there's no excuse for that. But, you know, it is tough to watch. It is tough to play in when you feel like you're being given the short end of the stick. But I enjoy the physicality. I enjoy watching. I love it. Just keep it consistent. If you're going to let the guys play, let us play. You know what I'm saying? Don't call the ticky-tack foul here for this guy and then let him play because this guy has the ball and he's a no-name, you know?
I don't know if like Nick Nurse and Joel Embiid would agree with that assessment today. You bet with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley. We're talking the NBA playoffs. Odyssey Sports NBA Insider, three-time NBA champion, Danny Green. Danny on Twitter at DGreen_14. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features. How about this? Like available H-Track all-wheel drive and, of course, wow. the standard third H-track. Row seating. Got to have
like
the H-Track.
Track. Yeah,
much better than a normal track. Danny, you last played with the Sixers, so I know you're very familiar with this team. Joel Embiid saying after last night's game that they're still going to win the series. Do you agree with him?
Who's going to win the series?
That the Sixers are going to beat the Knicks.
Yeah, Embiid.
I don't. I mean, of course he should. He's supposed to think so. Right. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they can extend it for sure. I think they can even it up and go to 6 or 7-game series, but ultimately I think, you know, the Knicks would have to lose 4 straight or 4 out of the next 5. I don't see Philly getting the 4 games before the Knicks get 2 more, you know, and especially if they go back to the Garden at some point. But the Knicks, they're a really good team, man. They know how to rebound. They know how to gut it out. They make the plays. And Jalen Brunson hasn't been playing his best basketball. You know, mind you, I said Philly, Joel and Tyrese have played really good. Some of their best basketball, the others haven't, you know, played their best basketball. So I'm assuming the others will play better at home. But when Jalen Brunson wakes up, man, you're in a lot of trouble, especially those because they're winning games without him. And OG hasn't really done a bunch of stuff, and their bench has been decent. But if that man wakes up and actually plays in his rhythm and efficiency, they're doing a great job of him. Take nothing away from Kelly Oubre, Nick Batum, all those guys using their length and making it difficult for him. But he's going to figure out at some point, and he's going to get going. And when he does, it's going to be real trouble for Philly. And I can't see him having bad games, like 4 games straight, you know?
Danny, I want to ask you about the other Western Conference series. We have a couple resuming tonight. We have resuming tomorrow, obviously, too. We're kind of trying to figure out, like, Nick and I really like Denver. We bet Denver to win the West. We bet them to win the title. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really good, obviously. We're just trying to figure out, all right, in the Western Conference, Suns, Timberwolves, Clippers, Mavericks, Thunder, maybe the Pelicans. If Denver gets by the series, like, is there a team in the bracket on Denver's side that you think could give them, like, a really compelling 7-game series, maybe upset them, but at least, like, give them a big test, ask a lot of questions? Do you think there's a team in the West, aside from the Lakers, obviously, that could do that?
To give Denver the test? I like more Minnesota, man. Cat gets his rhythm back. You know, I think those two big match up with Jokic pretty well. The Gobert, Cat, one could play weak side, one could guard him, body him up, and they use their length to give him problems. And if Ant Edwards, they have other guys step up, like Mikhail Alexander, Walker, Slow-Mo, like their guys come off the bench, I think they can give him trouble. So that's the only other team that I see. You know, OKC, New Orleans is going to be a hell of a series. And also, depending on what that Clippers-Dallas series looks like, I don't know who's going to be healthy for the Clippers, but if Kawhi gets healthy, that's another team that could be. But if he doesn't, Dallas, those one of the teams out of those two groups can be a hell of a matchup for anybody, whether it's in the Western Conference Finals or in the Finals.
And it does look like, or I don't want to say it does look like, but it seems like Kawhi Leonard's going to play tonight for the Clippers against the Dallas Mavericks. Kawhi had shoot around earlier today. The Clippers were an underdog in the game, now about out to being a small favorite. Danny, is it as easy as saying the Boston Celtics will represent the East in the NBA Finals? And if it's not the Celtics, who do you like to come out of the East?
I mean, I think it's as easy as saying that. I mean, right now, it's theirs to lose. But the only other team that I see that can match up with them well is any of the teams that come out of this Philly-New York series. Outside of that, Milwaukee's pretty good, but without Giannis, even with Giannis, I don't see it. They're still figuring out after the trade deadline and the coaching change, they've been very shaky up and down. Cleveland and Orlando just don't have enough. So the only teams that I can see give them a run for their money is this New York-Philly series.
Danny, about like 30, 45 seconds to go here. I think a lot of people agree with you. And I like a lot of people think Boston and Denver are just going to play in the NBA Finals. These have been two of the best teams all year. Maybe that's just what it's going to be. They played really memorable regular season games against each other with Denver winning, but like close. If they play in the NBA Finals, I can tell you Boston will be a favorite in the betting market. Maybe that surprises you with Jokic. And they won last year. Yeah. Do you agree with that? Who would you pick in how many games? Boston and Denver in about 45 seconds.
I mean, obviously you can't compare regular season to the playoffs, but watching regular season, it just showed me that Denver has some type of a mental edge on them as well and just more maturity. So that's why I would give the edge to Denver. I do think Boston has more talented across the board and a deeper team, but just something about them, a lot of people said makes them vulnerable. And that'd be me lack of experience or maybe coaching experience. You know, it's Joe Mazzulla's second year, maybe third year.
Second year,
Mike Malone has an edge on him with that. And to those other guys, it just I don't know. Denver just brings a different type of tenacity, where it's like you kind of, I wouldn't say fear them, but you like, you know, this is like something about Boston makes them seem a little more vulnerable than Denver.
Newly minted friend of the show, Danny Green, because we agree with you, Danny, on the Denver Nuggets against the Boston Celtics. Danny, let's close with this. Like 10 seconds to go. This does not have to be like Danny Green's best bet or anything like that. Timberwolves, like a 3-point favorite at home against the Suns tonight. Milwaukee and basically picked the winner against Indiana. And the Clippers basically picked the winner of the game against the Mavericks. Do you have like a team you really like tonight in 10 seconds here, Tuesday night in the NBA playoffs?
I mean, I like all those teams that I picked, especially Minnesota, I think for sure will get it done. You said Milwaukee. Is that the second game?
Yep.
I like Milwaukee in the second game too. But Indiana will play better, but I like Milwaukee in that second game. And the third game was
Clippers Mavs.
Pick the Mavs. Winner.
That's the one I'm not sure about. It said we don't know if Kawhi is playing or not, but I think Dallas bounces back and they split in LA. So I like Dallas for this one, of playing a way better game, because I think Kawhi will probably sit again.
Danny, we appreciate it. Maybe we do this next week and we talk with you more as the NBA playoffs move on. Okay, great. Well,
definitely. I'm around, man. Let me know.
Oh, yeah, we will. Absolutely. It's because you're awesome.
4 hours a day, right?
Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Danny Green joining us on the show. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, which, of course, is equipped for adventure. Of course, obviously, with the H-Track. Yeah, on the other side, speaking of H-Track, let's get some hockey bets. Rob Bazzola, Pro Sports Better, joins us next. Nick and Ken, You Better You Bet on a Tuesday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL network.
8 minutes to go. Domi played it ahead. Matthews in alone. Matthews scores! And finally, Toronto has a lead against Boston.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL network.
Sean McDonald with the call last night on ESPN. Forget about the goal, which was awesome in and of itself, right? Austin Matthews beating Linus Ullmark, giving the Maple Leafs the 3-2 lead against Boston, which would be the final score. Dude looked like prime Odell Beckham Jr., snatching the puck out of the air, dropping it, and then scoring on Ullmark last night. Also, Ken and I have bets on the Bruins to win the series. You know who I think would have saved that shot? Jeremy Swayman.
You're really on this. You're not going to let this one go. This is like your thing with this series.
Why'd they do it? Like, what? Like, you're up 1-0. Swayman played great. Like, why are we? It's not December. It's the playoffs. Enough with the rotation, Boston idiots. Anyway, Herman Edwards, former NFL head coach, ESPN NFL analyst, he joins us in 20 minutes. Herm will talk all things NFL draft with us, as will our friend John Daigle from Establish the Run to start next hour on the show. Ken and I will get back to the NBA playoffs. We'll talk a little bit about the Cavs and Magic, and I mean a little bit. And we'll talk all things NHL postseason as well, including this like really unfortunate Thatcher Demko situation with the Vancouver Canucks. We know Demko is out for at least tonight's game against the Nashville Predators. All our bets for tonight coming up at the end of the program in the Power Hour, the final hour. But joining us right now to talk all things betting on the NHL postseason, it's been a little bit since we've had him on the show. It's always great to welcome to You Better You Bet our good friend, pro sports bettor, Rob Pizzola of The Circles Off Sports Betting Podcast, which we encourage everybody to check out, and Rob's Sports Betting Network, which a lot of You Better You Bet guests contribute to, like Joey Kanish, Eric Yeager, among others. The Hammer. Everyone can follow The Hammer on Twitter, at The Hammer HQ. They are friends of ours. They should be friends of yours as well, dear listener and dear viewer. Rob on Twitter, at Rob Bazzola. My friend, welcome back. It's your old pals, Nick and Ken. How's it going?
It's going well, guys. Coming off of the Leafs win last night, which was absolutely monumental. Toronto hockey, Toronto sports is just like complete panic after game one. Everyone wants to fire everyone, change the entire team. We need to do this in the offseason. It's like it's only one game. Leafs played really well last night, but I'm pretty excited this time of year. I love playoff hockey, I think, more than any other sport, just because like these games are amazing. It's just like a different energy in all of these games. So happy to be back with you guys talking puck.
Yeah, and Rob, you know, Nick, obviously a Knicks fan, was kind of detailing in the first hour, like, what it's like being a Knicks fan, where, you know, like, something good happens, and you're just constantly waiting for, like, the agonizing other shoe to drop, and, like, you know something bad is just around the corner, and we've seen this with the Maple Leafs, so I mean, I don't have to tell you how many times we've seen it, like, how many times, even just against Boston in the postseason, that we've seen it. They play the Bruins 4 times in the regular season, they lose all 4. Like, it's really, it's kind of just like, how could you feel good about this, and yet, in that one play, the clip that we played with Matthews Bruins taking the lead. It just feels like everything kind of turned a little bit. So the series, game three is lined essentially pick the winner. The series is basically lined pick the winner with some small deviations. Do you actually let yourself think as a bettor or a fan that Toronto can maybe do this?
I do. I mean, I'm opposite you guys going into the series, not really a homer bet. I mean, if I could go back in time, I wouldn't have placed the bet knowing that William Nylander could potentially miss the series for the Leafs because he's such an impactful player for them, especially in the playoffs. His ability to gain the blue line without having to dump it in is something that the Leafs are missing right now. But I think the Leafs on paper are better than the Boston Bruins. It's just a matter of whether or not they can get the goaltending that they did last night, where Ilya Samsonov made some huge saves down the stretch to keep them in the game, and he outplayed Ullmark on the other side. So if they can get that goaltending, I think the Leafs can honestly beat everyone. I'm not saying that as a homer. That's just their question mark going into the playoffs. But ultimately, I would expect the response from Boston in game three. I mean, they had the lead for the majority of that game last night. They're a team that does play well on the road, and they can really play a suffocating style of hockey in Toronto. So I don't disagree with the line right now. I do think that this series is pretty much a virtual coin flip at this point. I would tilt things to the Leafs' favor if they can get Nylander back in the short term, but that's not a guarantee that's going to happen in this series.
Give me 10 seconds on this, and then we'll move. I'll ask you about another series. You're a Leafs fan, and you have money on the Leafs here. What do you think about the Bruins rotating goalies here in the postseason? In like 10 seconds, and then I'll ask you about something else.
So fully expected them to go to Ullmark last night because I think that was their plan going into the playoffs. As a Leafs fan, I was happy to see Ullmark in that last night. I think the Bruins should have rode Swayman for at least one more game, but this is what's worked for them all year long. This is why they're in the position that they're in now, is because they have two number one goalies, and they didn't really have to go to a backup at any point this year, but I would have rode the hot hand in Swayman, who's had the Leafs number all year, basically.
Well, it's like they say in the National Football League. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. I don't know if it's the same thing with NHL goalies, but whatever. It looked like it last night. Another result from last night, Rob, in the Eastern Conference. The Islanders up 3-0 on the Carolina Hurricanes and end up losing the game 5-3. The Hurricanes like set NHL records. Game tying and go-ahead goal 9 seconds apart in the third period of a playoff game. Carolina storms back to win 5-3. Up now 2-0 in that series. I don't know if Ilya Sorokin will start when the series shifts back to Long Island. I think that's probably what they'll do. Patrick Roy will probably make a switch. I could be wrong about that, but that's my sense, is that Sorokin will play. Any reason to believe that the Islanders can come back against Carolina? Any betting thoughts with the Islanders and the Canes?
I think the only reason to believe is that it's the sport of hockey and that anything can happen. But I think that this series is very likely over. Even though the Islanders haven't played a home game yet, there's just such a massive discrepancy between these two teams. You look at last night's game, the shot attempts in last night's game were 110-28 for the Carolina Hurricanes. Like, these teams are not even close to being in the same league. The only way the Islanders are going to win this series is if they get A-plus goaltending. And it's not like Varlamov has played bad. He just hasn't been unreal. So they're probably going to go to Sorokin when they go home. He's going to have to turn into the Sorokin from last year, who, you know, was just basically lights out. But even then, that might not be enough, trailing 2-0. I mean, the season series between these two teams is extremely lopsided. They've played 6 times now this year. Shot attempts are 529-259 for the Hurricanes. Like, they're doubling the Islanders in shot attempts. New York Islanders can't win this series unless their goalie plays lights out, and it could happen. It's hockey. I just don't want anything to do with the Islanders.
Rob, in the West, we had two results last night. We had two series that hadn't started that were kind of like the late arrivals, basically, because of some of the results that we got late in the season. So Vegas-Dallas, which is like a banger of a series, and Vegas wins game one. In Dallas, Ottinger doesn't play particularly well. And then Edmonton, like, this feels like a huge mismatch. It doesn't have to play out that way, but, like, they beat the Kings. With Thatcher Demko's injury, maybe we could ask you about that series in a second. Like, let's say he doesn't play. It does feel a lot, Nick and I were talking about this right before the show, like Vegas and Edmonton are just going to play in the Western Conference Finals. Like, that's where we're headed right now. Do you agree with that? Like, do you have as high a degree of confidence as we do that we're kind of on track now because of the Demko injury for Vegas against Oilers, excuse me. And then who would you have if they ended up playing?
I'm not putting Vegas there just yet because I actually thought Dallas played a good game last night. And it was just like the Jake Ottinger make a save challenge, which he couldn't do for the first period and a half of that game. And ultimately, you know, Ottinger didn't have the best year, but I do have believe in his ability to turn it around, but I do like the winner of that series in all likelihood against the winner of Colorado and Winnipeg. Edmonton to me is just a machine. In years past, you know, teams would really try to grind them down. The Kings are not the same grinded down team that they were in years past. They do have some very good checking centermen, but I mean, the Oilers are just so talented. You add in the Demko injury now for Vancouver, and to me, Edmonton's very clearly the best team on that side of the bracket. So I do think the Edmonton Oilers will be in the Western Conference Finals. I think you can make a case for any of the other teams really on the other side, but Dallas-Vegas to me is not over just yet. I do still think the Stars are very live even after losing Game 1.
Nick and Ken here on You Better You Bet, getting bets to the NHL postseason from our friend, pro sports bettor Rob Pizzola of the Circles Off Sports Betting Podcast and the Hammer Sports Betting Network. Rob is on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. Rob, speaking of the Make a Save Challenge, that challenge failed by both Alexander Georgiev and Connor Hellebuck in Game 1 of the Avalanche Jets series. And so let's work that series in. Game 2 coming up tonight with the Avs, a short road favorite. Winnipeg up 1-0 in the series. And then let's talk about Vancouver and Nashville as well. Game 2 tonight in Vancouver. Casey DeSmith going to start. Demko out. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. Vancouver, a small home favorite after storming back in the third period to 3-0 in the third period of Game 1. Vancouver winning that Game 1. So thoughts on the two games tonight? Jets, Avs, Canucks, Preds, both Game 2s. And then how do you see both of those series playing out, especially now with the Demko injury in Vancouver?
Yeah, so I like the Jets tonight. I think this game is mispriced, and a lot of it is to do with Game 1, where Colorado played a really good game. You said the Georgiev make-a-save challenge. Well, I mean, that's been the season. I mean, he's the worst goalie that's in the playoffs right now based off of the entire season. I'm much more inclined to believe that Connor Hellebuck bounces back in net than Georgiev, and they don't have a backup option either. Provetsov is there. Like, they just do not have the ability to get a big save. So I get it. Colorado's probably a little bit better top to bottom. The injury to Drouin hurts them a little bit, but Winnipeg, in my opinion, shouldn't be a home dog here based off of Game 1. Oftentimes, we see people overreact to one specific game in a series. That was the game, to me, that Colorado had their A game. They needed to win that one. Winnipeg was a little bit slow out of the gate. I don't agree with that price. In the other game, you get Casey DeSmith in net for Vancouver, and naturally, the market moves towards the over. You get a bunch of Nashville series price being bet. Totally understand why that would happen. Something that tends to happen in hockey, and this is, you know, not a narrative or an angle I'm making up. It's you just look over data from years past. But typically speaking, when teams go to the backup goalie in the first game, there tends to be a really strong defensive effort around that goalie. There is a huge downgrade from Demko to DeSmith. Everyone in the Canucks dressing room knows that. Nashville already struggles to generate chances. They're pretty much a one-line team in terms of offensive scoring. I mean, they're pretty well-rounded, but they don't have a lot of playmakers. I actually like the under in Vancouver-Nashville after we've seen a little bit of a move to the over. You can get the under there at plus money in a lot of spots. You know, if the 5.5 is on the board, the 6s are pretty heavily juiced. But I think you get a very solid effort from Vancouver defensively tonight. Really try to collapse in front of the net, not make too many mistakes, stay out of the box. The first game was a real slog to watch until Vancouver opened it up in the third. I think that's what the series is going to be like. So I like the Jets. I like the under in Vancouver and Nashville.
I mean, I think it's only natural right after a 13-goal game too, to be like, hey, maybe we're going to like tweak a couple things and not have that happen again. And the backup goalie almost just kind of throws a wrench into everything and kind of clouds maybe what might have. Like, I have Vancouver in the under written for this game for best for tonight. It's like one of the only games I actually really like. Rob, we only have a couple minutes left, and this has kind of worked out well because I get to ask you about like the thing that I'm most confident in, which is a team we haven't talked about yet. Like, who's going to win the Stanley Cup? You've given us like thoughts on almost all the teams. There's some teams in the East we haven't talked about yet. I really like Florida. I think they're the most likely team to win. Maybe not because of path. Like, they're going to have to play the Rangers, the Hurricanes at some point. They might have to play the Maple Leafs in the next round. It's almost like Denver. The path is tougher, but I just like them the most. Do you agree with me that Florida is either the most or one of the most likely teams to win? And if it's not them, who do you like more? Let's say in about a minute.
Yeah, so I really like Florida as a team. I also don't think this series is necessarily over yet. Tampa Bay has a you know, proven goaltender. They didn't play the greatest game in Game 1, and Florida's definitely better than Tampa. But the Panthers have such a great forecheck. They have three lines that they can roll now that Verhaeghe's back as well. They got Ekblad back on defense. Bobrovsky's having a good year. So I can't deny that at all. If Florida was to meet Carolina in the conference finals, I'd probably slightly prefer Carolina in that matchup. I think they're pretty evenly matched teams, but I like Carolina's back end just a little bit more. I think they have a little bit more depth on the blue line, but that would make for a great series. If Florida played the Rangers, I honestly would like Florida quite a bit in that series because I just don't think the Rangers forwards can stack up. They will get Heedle back. That's going to be a big thing for them. But Florida and Carolina are big puck possession teams. The Rangers are not. So I think you'll see the Rangers play in their own end a lot in that series. Typically, you just don't want that in hockey. But I don't disagree, Ken. I mean, I've loved the Panthers all year. They had hit a little bit of a rut towards the end of the season. I marginally prefer Carolina, but that series to me would be pretty close to a toss-up.
Lightning round to close, like 15 seconds per. Any betting thoughts on Rangers Capitals? It could be game two tonight. Anything moving forward, 15 seconds.
I would only ever consider the Capitals, even though they got lambasted in game one. The Rangers, they're a little bit of an F around and find out team every now and then, where I don't trust them in these big favorite roles, but I'm not betting the Caps. That's the only way I would look, but I'm not putting my money down on them.
15 seconds. As of right now, what is the Stanley Cup final matchup and who wins? 15 seconds.
Edmonton Oilers, Carolina Hurricanes, and the Carolina Hurricanes win the Stanley Cup.
Wow, going to be a monster rating for that series. 15 seconds. Who wins Conn Smythe under that scenario?
I feel like it might end up going to Freddie Anderson just because they'll have to get through the Rangers and likely the Panthers. Which he's going to have some big series to get them there. And Carolina spreads their scoring a lot through the lineup as well. So I'll say Freddie Anderson wins Conn Smythe.
Final question, 5 seconds. Dallas Cowboys over under 10.5 wins this season.
Over 10.5 wins, under 0.5 playoff wins.
Business as usual.
Under 1.5 wins for Mike, under 1.5 seasons for Mike McCarthy to be the coach of the Cowboys. Rob is on Twitter at Rob Bazzola. Check out his sports betting podcast, Circles Off, and check out all the content he does over at The Hammer with our friends like Joey Kanish, Eric Giger, and others at The Hammer HQ. My friend, best of luck with the bets, and we will talk to you soon here on You Better You Bet.
All right, thanks, guys.
Great job by Rob Bazzola hitting like everything in the NHL playoffs. Coming up next, we'll talk NFL draft with former NFL head coach, the great Herman Edwards.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL network.
At the 35-yard line. Quarterback draw. The C's part. There goes Daniels again. He's looking for the end zone. Touchdown.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL network.
Bob was choosing with the call this past college football season on ESPN. Jaden Daniels, one of about, a billion touchdowns that he scored. A lot of highlight-worthy plays that led to him winning the Heisman Trophy. John Daigle will join us coming up next hour to talk about his latest mock draft for our friends at Establish the Run, as we are 2 days out from the 2024 National Football League Draft. But joining us right now to talk about Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and everything we'll see happen round one in about 48 hours from now, friend of the program, the great Herman Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL head coach, former college football head coach, on Twitter at Herm Edwards, joined us a couple times throughout the NFL season. He was magnificent, and we are very happy to welcome him back to the show. Coach, it's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley. We sincerely appreciate the time. You're very generous with it. How's it going, and happy draft week.
Well, you're right. Happy draft week. This is always an exciting part of the NFL. New talent that teams can acquire, obviously, through the college draft. I mean, that's the lifeblood of the NFL. And then you think about the position that always seems to stand out is the quarterback position. So a lot of really good quarterbacks coming out. You just mentioned the one guy, Jaden Daniels. I spoke with Jaden yesterday, actually. So he's doing well. He's excited. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Coach, just curious, obviously, you know Daniels, I mean, far better than we do, obviously, cross paths with him. And in college, he is like a big favorite to be the second overall pick. There's a lot of kind of scuttlebutt, like, where are these quarterbacks going to go? Is Washington going to pick Jaden Daniels second overall? Two-part question, like, do you think that the Washington Commanders will pick him second overall? And if they do pick him, what kind of player are they getting?
Well, I would hope they would pick him. I know I would pick him. It wouldn't be a question. But they're basically getting Randall Cunningham, if you boil it down. And I played with Randall in my career there in Philadelphia toward the end, and attributes are about the same. Randall was about 6'4", 215, Jaden 6'3", about 210. But they have the same attributes when you watch him play. I told Jaden that when he came to ASU. I said, you remind me of a guy I played with, Randall Cunningham. And I think that that's where he'll go. To Washington. With that being said, I think it's a good spot for him. You know, you got a new head coach. They're trying to build a program, and there's no better guy to build it around than him.
Did Jaden tell you that he's going to Washington? I'm just kidding. And if you knew the answer, I don't want you to say it on the air because I don't want you to betray that relationship. But I felt like I had to at least ask the question. I don't, you know, obviously don't have to answer it. So the betting market thinks Jaden Daniels, coach, is going to be the second overall pick. He's a big favorite to be the second overall pick. I think the one thing that everyone feels like supremely confident in heading into Thursday is that Caleb Williams is going to go first overall to the Chicago Bears. It feels like a fait accompli. Massive favorite in the betting market that Caleb goes first overall. So if indeed he is the pick to Chicago, Caleb Williams will be the new franchise quarterback of the Bears. You know, they loaded up this offseason, bringing in Keenan Allen, among others. Defense was really good to end the season. They bring back Matt Eberflus. Bears win total next year sitting at 8.5. And this does not have to be like Herman Edwards' best bet. That's not what this is. Just like, do you think in Caleb Williams' rookie year, the Bears are more likely to go above 500, 9-8 or better, or struggle a little bit in the first season for Caleb Williams? So what do you see for the Bears if indeed it's Caleb Williams as the new franchise quarterback?
Well, I think when you look at the Bears and you know how they played last year, they were 7-10 football team. They were 2-4 in the division. The Lions obviously are probably if you're betting right now, you probably say the Lions are probably, you know, in the clubhouse, they're the favorite. Packers have a young quarterback. The Vikings obviously will pick up a quarterback. Green Bay ended up 9-8. The Vikings 7-10, and then, you know, the Bears were 7-10 now. With that being said, when you get a quarterback like Caleb Williams, obviously, I've always said this, when you get a guy like that, can he win you three more games? Can he win you three more games? Can you flip it from 7-10 to 10-7? And I think if he gets off to a good start, they continue to play defense the way they played. You know, schedule has a lot to do with it early in the season. You know, how do they bring him along? They got a chance to win 10 games. There's no doubt about that.
Coach, a couple other quarterbacks, obviously, that we expect to go pretty early in the draft. Drake May from North Carolina, but also J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. And, like, you've been around the league a while. You know, like, there's always that one or two players. Maybe it's a quarterback, maybe it's not. And you start hearing all the reports at the combine and hearing all the reports at the interviews. Like, everybody loves this guy, and he's rocketing up draft boards. Seems like, especially early in the process, that was J.J. McCarthy. And I know there's this kind of disconnect, right, because he didn't have the gaudy numbers like the Jaden Daniels did, for example, you compared to Randall Cunningham before, but yet everybody still seems to think this guy is like a can't miss prospect and should be taken really early on. Like how difficult is that when, like, you know, you might be the coach of a team and the franchise quarterback might be a guy who's never had gaudy numbers before, but he wins a lot of games. What about JJ McCarthy and maybe his chances of success at the next level, wherever he goes?
Well, you like guys that can win. Obviously, he was coached very well by one of the better coaches now. He's in the National Football League, Coach Harbaugh. And you're right, he didn't have the gaudy numbers, but the system didn't allow him to have the gaudy numbers. And so, you know, you always got to look at that. What system did he play in? And Harbaugh's a guy, you know, these quarterbacks aren't going back 40 times and throwing passes. He's not going to do that. He's going to run the football. He's going to be balanced. When you have your opportunities to throw it, you got to make the throws. And I say sometimes that's even harder for a quarterback in today's world. When you know, some quarterbacks go into the ball game, they go, you know, I'm going to get to throw it about 40 times. Okay, some quarterbacks go into it when you're a running football team, you're going, I'm going to throw it maybe 25, 30 times at most. And, you know, so, you know, my decisions, my completion rate has to be a little bit better in the fact that I'm not getting a lot of opportunities now. If I'm behind, obviously, but for the most part, when you play games the way they play, they're tight games. So I like him. I do. I just think, you know, he's a guy that kind of went under the radar screen because he played for Michigan. He didn't have his gaudy numbers, like you say, but he's a good quarterback.
You better you bet here with Nick and Ken on a Tuesday. We're talking the NFL draft, all things National Football League with the great Herman Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL and college football head coach. He's on Twitter at Herm Edwards. Coach, there was a report that came out earlier today that your guy Antonio Pierce and the Las Vegas Raiders explored moving up to the second overall pick with the Washington Commanders, presumably to take a quarterback, and were rebuffed from there. Now, other reports say that the Patriots are open for business with the third overall pick. What's your sense as to what the Las Vegas Raiders are looking to do here with, again, reports starting to come out that they are very interested about moving up again, presumably for a quarterback?
Yeah, they want Jaden. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, Antonio was on my staff in Arizona State, and he's known Jaden since he was in high school. So, you know, Jaden's a West Coast guy, lives in Los Angeles. They're going to do everything they can to try to move up. And you're right. You know, to getting up to number two would be very difficult probably. But now when you mentioned, you know, getting up to maybe even number four with where they're at, they sit at 13. That's interesting. And maybe even at three, if New England doesn't want Jaden Daniels, if they feel like we can get another guy, that would be interesting. But yeah, the Raiders are trying to get him. There's no doubt about that.
Pretty interesting there. Coach, I want to ask you real quick about another team in the Raiders division that made some news the other day. The Denver Broncos acquired Zach Wilson from the Jets. And I think what a lot of people are trying to figure out is, would Sean Payton and the Broncos go into the season with Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson and maybe nobody else on their quarterback depth chart? Or are they still maybe in the market to draft a quarterback? What did you make of that move? And do you still think the Broncos might take a quarterback in this draft, maybe early?
Not surprising, but by the Jets move. And I think, you know, he needs a new atmosphere, obviously, and a new start. He's going to a place where you have the quarterback whisperer in Sean Payton. He's really good with quarterbacks. He would play in a system that would allow him, you know, to get the ball out and those type of things. So that will help him. I think Sean's always looking for a quarterback. That's just him. I think he has two to start with, but he's going to look. There's no doubt about it. And if somebody slips through the cracks that he likes, you know, he'll get a guy. I mean, he's the guy that he understands the quarterback position as good as anybody in the National Football League. And when you make a trade like that, that's saying something, right? I mean, that's saying something. Everybody else talked about that young guy and, you know, the Jets were going to get rid of him and all that kind of stuff. Now he's found a place where a coach that can coach the quarterbacks now has been very successful in his career. He's playing with him now.
Coach, there are conflicting thoughts as to whether Washington quarterback Michael Penix will go in the first round. Some NFL insiders adamant that he's going to be selected in the top half of the first round. Others think he's not going to be selected until round two or round three, probably round two, right, on Friday night. Based on what you've heard, do you think Michael Penix gets drafted on Thursday night or Friday night here in about 30 seconds?
He has a chance to go on Thursday night. I think when you keep looking and you're watching, and if you want a guy of his skill set, if you wait to number two, depending when you pick, you might not get him. So, you know, when you need a quarterback and he'll fit your system and he's athletic and you like him, pick him. Don't mess around.
Final question here, Coach. Besides for Caleb Williams going first and Jaden Daniels going second, which I think a lot of people think is like going to happen on Thursday night to the Washington Commanders, what is the one thing that you feel most confident in happening on Thursday night to close here in about 30 seconds?
I think there'll be a run on quarterbacks in the first round. I think five of them can go in the first round.
And Penix would be the fifth, like not Bo Nix, if you just had to guess.
Well, you know, I don't know that, but I think there'll be a run on these quarterbacks. I just do because, look, we all know, guys, if you don't have a quarterback, the field's 150 yards long. And there's some young ones coming out, and if you can get one of them, you got to go get them.
Coach, you're the absolute best. We love having you on the show. We sincerely appreciate you making the time for us. On Twitter, at Herm Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL and college football head coach. Herm, enjoy draft week. Enjoy Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. Stay well, and hopefully we get the chance to talk to you soon.
Thank you, my friends.
Our pal Herman Edwards joining us here.
Really interesting stuff.
We are really interesting
stuff.
And Jaden Daniels is going second.
It does feel a little like that. it does feel a little like that. We talk more about it too. After we have John Daigle on next segment too. Also, yeah, just this. You know, we have a lot of different people on this show. We had a former coach of the Commanders. We had Jaden Daniels, former coach. And it's all just kind of leading to one conclusion. it's also the conclusion someone bet $100,000 on yesterday. Oh, by the way. So just, yeah, maybe it ends up being the most obvious thing.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, they talked about that. He's never going to tell us whether that was the case or not.
No.
Yeah.
But I mean, just read the tone of the answer. I think he's going to Washington.
I think he's going to Washington also. So does the betting market. We'll find out what John Daigle thinks. Coming up with Jaden Daniels in Washington and the rest of the NFL draft to start hour number three on the other side with Nick and Ken on a Tuesday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL network.